He picked up Craiglin's thoughts later on in the hand, when the woman was out and sitting back and relaxing, her eyes closed. Hawser looked briefly at the white-haired woman on the couch down in front of him. She was watching the game, apparently, but one leg was slung over the side of her lounger, swinging to and fro, as though her mind was somewhere else. Craiglin was feeling good. First of all, that slut next to him was out, and he was sure it was because of some of the cards he had played, but also there was a sort of inner exhilaration. Here he was, playing with the best players in the galaxy. The players. Him. Him. A sudden inhibitory thought blocked out a name he was about to think. And he really wasn't doing that badly at all. He was keeping up. In fact, this hand was looking pretty damn good. At last, things were going right. He was going to win something. Too many things had... well, there was that... Think about the cards, suddenly. Think about here and now. Yes, the cards. Let's see. I can hit that fat blue oaf with... Hawser switched off again. He was sweating. He hadn't fully realised the degree of feedback from the player's mind that was involved. He had thought it was just the emotions beamed at them. He hadn't dreamed he would be so much in Craiglin's mind. Yet this was only a taste of what Craiglin himself was getting full blast, and the motis and lives behind him. Real feedback, only just under control, only just stopping from becoming the emotional equivalent of a loudspeaker howl, building to destruction. Now the changer realised the attraction of the game, and why people had been known to go mad when playing it. Much as he disliked the experience, Hawser felt new respect for the man he intended at least to remove and replace, and most likely to kill. Craiglin had a sort of advantage, inasmuch as the thoughts and emotions being beamed back at him were at least partly emanating from his own mind, whereas the lives and the motis had to put up with extremely powerful blasts of what was entirely somebody else's way of feeling something. All the same, it had to take a considerable strength of character, or a vast amount of hard training, to be able to handle what Craiglin was obviously coping with. Hawser switched back in again and thought, how do the motis stand it? And, watch out, maybe this is how they started. Craiglin lost the hand 2 rounds of betting later. The half-blind albino Nipolax was defeated too, and the Suet raked in his winnings, his steel face glowing in the light reflected from the Aoish credits in front of him. Craiglin was slumped in his seat, feeling, Hawser knew, like death. A pulse of a sort of resigned, almost grateful agony swept through Craiglin from behind as his last life died, and Hawser felt it too. He and Craiglin both winced. Hawser switched off and looked at the time. Less than an hour had passed since he had bluffed his way past the guards at the outer doors of the arena. He had some food on a low table by his couch, but he got up all the same and walked away from the table, up the terrace toward the nearest walkway, where food stalls and bars waited. Security guards were checking passes. Hawser saw them moving from person to person on the terrace. He kept his face to the front, but flicked his eyes from side to side, watching the guards as they moved. One was almost directly in his path, bending to ask an old-looking female, who was lying on an airbed which blew perfumed fumes round her thin, exposed legs. She was sitting, watching the game with a big smile on her face, and she took a while to notice the guard. Hawser walked a little faster, so that when the guard straightened, he would be past her. The old lady flashed her pass and turned quickly back to the game. The guard put out an arm in front of Hawser. "May I see your pass, sir?" Hawser stopped and looked into the face of the young, burly woman. He looked back down to the couch he had been on. "I'm sorry, I think I left it down there. I'll be back in a second. Can I show it to you then? I'm in a bit of a hurry." He shifted his weight from one foot to the other and bent a little at the waist. "I got wrapped up in the last hand there. Too much to drink before the game started. Always the same. Never learn. All right." He put out his hands, looked a little sheepish, and made as if to clap the guard on her shoulders. He shifted his weight again. The guard looked down to where Hawser had indicated he had left his pass. "For now, sir. I'll look at it later. But you really shouldn't go leaving it lying about. Don't do it again." Right. Thank you." Hawser laughed and went off at a quick walk onto the circular walkway and then to a toilet just in case he was being watched. He washed his face and hands, listened to a drunk woman singing somewhere in the echoing room, then left by another exit and walked round to another terrace where he got something else to eat and had a drink. He bribed his way into a different terrace again, this one even more expensive than the one he had been on originally, because it was next to the one which held Wilgra's concubines. A soft wall of shining black material had been erected at the rear and sides of their terrace to keep out the nearer eyes, but their body scent wafted strongly over the terrace Hawser now found himself on. Genofixed before conception, not only to be stunningly attractive to a wide variety of humanoid males, the females in the harem also had highly accentuated aphrodisiac pheromones. Before Hawser knew what was happening, he had an erection and had started to sweat again. Most of the men and women around him were in a state of obvious sexual arousal, and those not plugged into the game on some sort of exotic double fix were engaged in sexual foreplay or actual intercourse. Hawser made his immune glands start up again and walked stiffly to the front of the terrace, where five couches had been vacated by two males and three females, who were rolling around on the ground in front, just behind the restraining barrier. Clothes lay scattered on the terrace floor,